Open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and this is our 11th session in this book. We'll finish this third chapter and start on the fourth this morning, Lord willing. How many Christians we got in the house this morning? You're a child of God? Isn't it amazing? You was born free once in the natural in America. We're coming up on our Independence Day, you know, and so you got to be born here and have a liberty and a freedom to serve God, to live a life, amen, that other people haven't got to live. But then when you come to the knowledge of your sin, of my sin, we got to be born again and have a newfound freedom, amen. So what we're going to talk about this morning is finding freedom, learning how to live by and for the Lord. The Apostle Paul, as he closes out this third chapter, he's dealing with the duty of a Christian household. Whether there's just one person in your house or you have many, you've got a Christian household. And the duty of that household is to live in and out and from the Word of God. Amen? Come on, live in and out and from the Word of God. And so that's what the Apostle Paul, by the unction of the Spirit, is talking about this morning. So you, some of these verses may apply to you, some of them may not. But in context, this whole message does apply to every one of us because God wants us to live free. Amen. He wants us to enjoy life. Jesus come that I might, said that you might not only have life, but you might have it more abundantly, right? He wants you to have an abundant lifestyle. Well, that's learning how to live in and by the Word of God. That's the only truth that will make us free. Amen. And so we could even say that these verses of Scripture, as he closes out this third chapter and starts the first verse in chapter 4, that it's the Christian duty. And I kind of got tickled. I was thinking about Christian duty. And for some reason, the Spirit of God brought up to my remembrance. How many remember the old Gomer Pyle TV show? Remember, he'd walk up and he'd say, "I'm reporting for duty," you know, in that voice that he had. And so that's what we need to do. We need to tell the Lord every moment that, hey, I'm here. I'm reporting for duty. Amen. I want to live in and by your command. See, if we don't live by the Word of God, we'll live by the devil's. And the devil's is hard. The devil is an evil taskmaster. Jesus is easy. He said his burden was light. His yoke is easy. Amen. That's what he has for us. Okay. Let's start in verse 17 and reread. We finished up with 17 week before last, but let's start with 17 and read down through verse 1 in chapter 4 because this all goes together. If you're there, say amen. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit. In other words, what's proper. You don't have to submit to something that's not proper in the Lord. Amen. What's proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your own wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Father. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing, reverencing God. Once again, second witness, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve, you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Keep going, because verse 1 should be with chapter 3. 4:1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Brother Corey, would you pray? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Brother Corey. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. So I know that sometimes when we read certain verses of Scripture, if our life doesn't look like those verses of Scriptures, we can get discouraged. So don't be discouraged in any one thing. Let the Word of God elevate your life. Amen. Let the Word of God take you where He would have you to live in and from. And so this morning, as we are so thankful for our independence, we're thankful for what God has done for us here in America, how He has blessed us. But we're even more thankful that we've got a kingdom that cannot be shook. We've got an everlasting kingdom. Amen. You and I, we're going to live in and from that kingdom forever because we are blood bought, blood washed. Our faith is in the finished work of the cross in Jesus Christ. But while we're living here, God wants you and I to live at a higher level. He wants you and I to have such a blessing upon our household, upon our lives, that it provokes others to jealousy. It makes them hungry for something greater, something more. And so let's see how we can apply these verses of Scripture. Because when I read those, I don't know about you, but I see a challenge there. You see a challenge this morning? And so to the natural man, to the flesh man, he says, well, forget it. I can't have that. But aren't you glad that your flesh doesn't determine what you get from the Lord? What determines what you and I get from the Lord is simply to take it by faith. Amen. Because you and I, we are in the flesh, but we're in the spirit. And so better said that we are spirit beings that are housed in this earthly tabernacle for a moment of time. But by our soul, mind, will, and emotions being renewed by the Word of God, we can learn how to control this earthly tabernacle, amen, and live in victory. So now I want you to notice, did you notice he didn't leave anybody out? He said, wives, in number one in verse 18, husbands, and number two in verse 19. He said, children, in number three in verse 20, fathers, number 21, that would have been four, servants, the fifth person, set of people mentioned in 22, and if you notice there, he's calling everybody into that place. And then in verse number 1 in chapter 4, he says, masters. So that's six classes of people. But aren't you glad in the last part of verse 1 in chapter 4, he said that you and I, we have a master in heaven. So the number 6 in Bible numerics means man, flesh, fallen man. But when you mix Jesus with it, the true master, because this word master is really Lord. Is Jesus your Lord this morning? Oh, hallelujah. So if he's your Lord, then guess what? You can have these things that the Apostle Paul is teaching by the Spirit. Because his name is above all other names. Amen. And so let's look and see how we can have these this morning. Let's go back and let's read verse 17 again. And notice this. He said, and whatsoever you do in word or deed. Deed there is argon, and it means works. So whatever you do with words, whatever you do with works, he said, do all. Don't leave anything out. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, by Jesus. So, in other words, I don't know about you, but as I look at these verses of Scripture and I'm challenged, I need to know how I can apply them. How can I be a husband that loves his wife and is not bitter against her? Because if husbands, it's easy to get bitter when things don't go our way, or they the wives are trying to. Usually, when I get challenged, God uses my wife to challenge me, and it's easy to get carnal. Come on, it's easy to get in the flesh, and so I need to come back and I need to say, wait a minute. God said that my spouse, my wife, is my helpmate. She's here to help me to be more like Jesus, to talk more like Jesus, to live a life like Jesus. And so that's a blessing. And so it's the same way God puts people in our lives. And if they are challenging you, don't be bitter against them. Don't look at the opportunity of what God's wanting to do. Amen. So here's what he says. He says, whatever you do, in other words, the way that you and I are going to do verses 18 through 4 and 1 is by the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Okay, so we need to understand that because the Bible says that you and I have been given the name of the Lord. When we got born again, born from above, we were given that name. Okay, this word name from the Greek, it means the very character of Jesus with the authority of Jesus. That's what's operating in your life. That's what you were saved by. That's what you're living by. That's the laminin that we talked about in Colossians that is holding you and I together. The cross that is in every cell of your body and my body. That's what's holding us together. The character of Jesus. The authority of Jesus. Yes. Now, Jesus said that he had all power and authority in heaven and in, oh, glory. Yes. So I'm living in that name. You're living in that name. So every place in my life that's weak, I say I'm strong. Because when I recognize my weakness, the Apostle Paul said, that's when the strength of Jesus Christ can come upon me. So let's look at some things. Let's spend just some time this morning. I want you to hold it in context of what the Apostle Paul's talking and teaching about the household. But we need to understand how to do what he's saying. So let's look at the character of Jesus. Hold your place here in the New Testament. And let's go all the way back to the Song of Solomon. And the Song of Solomon, they have really turned it into a sex book. But it's a book about Jesus Christ and his church. Amen. And it's about the love that he has for us. And so if you turn to the fifth chapter, and we won't take time to look at this, but these 16 verses here is about Christ calling his church out. Do we need to be called out of the world? Come on, like never before. It's about him awakening the church to the gifts that he has gave them that they can let the light shine. But I just want you to think about the character, because he said everything that we do it by the character. So if we can see Jesus, then we can see Jesus at work in our life. Because you and I, we are of the same light. We are of the same word. We are of the same will of the Father. And so what's in Jesus can come out of us. That's why we can do what the Apostle Paul was teaching in our household. Amen. We can have this Christian duty, but it's not just a duty. It's an honor. It's an honor to live by the Spirit in this power. Amen. All right. So look at start at verse 10, just for sake of time. And I'll read it quickly. I want you to meditate on it. Song of Solomon 5 and 10. My beloved, this is the church talking about Jesus. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Do you feel that way about Jesus? Is he the most important person in your life? Come on. So we need to let him know that. Lord, there's nobody more important than you. You're the chiefest. You're number one in my life. I know that you're the source of my life. I know that you love me with an everlasting love. I know you've called me with a calling that has an expected hope and end in my life. I honor you for that. Amen. Verse 11, his head is the most fine gold. Go on. The head of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. The church is his body. The most precious thing. His head is of the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as raven. Verse 12, his eyes are the eyes of dove. Come on. His eyes are by the Holy Spirit. The spirit of dove, gentleness, love. Jesus has gentleness and love for you and I, amen? And that's the character of him that is being sanctified in us when we hear the word of God and we react to it. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of water. Think about out of your belly, John 7, 37 through 39. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk. Come on, the milk of the word. and fitly set. 13, his cheeks are as the bed of spices, sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. He has an anointing on him, and every phase of the anointing has a different smell. When God's wanting to bring healing, there's a different smell to the anointing. When God's wanting to bring deliverance, there's a different smell of the anointing. When God's wanting to bring unity in the household, this message is so timely today. We've got trouble in the household. We got division in the household. The Holy Ghost knows all about it, and He wants to help. He wants to bring an anointing that will cause the unifier, Jesus, to put us together. Amen? Verse 14, his hands are as gold rings set with beryl, and his belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. Oh, I wish we had time. His legs are as pillars of marble. Come on, they're not moving. He's immovable. Set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as the Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. See, Satan, when you look at Satan, he is called an old box cedar. But your Lord and your Savior, He's got the legs of the cedars of Lebanon that were pure and that were made for the temple. Come on, you were made for the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here's why we came here, the last verse, verse 16. His mouth. Come on now, we're talking about the character. You're living in and by that name. You can have a household that Paul was talking about where husbands and wives and children get along, where bosses and employees can get along. You can have unity, amen? You can have what God wanted you to have. It's by this word. His mouth is most sweet. Now mark that down in your Bible app, highlight it in your Bible. His mouth, his words. The word of the Lord is sweet. I don't know about you, but I can't have it, but I love sweet. Come on, the flesh does. How much more should our spirit love sweet? His mouth is most sweet, yea. He is altogether lovely, beautiful. See, your feet are shod. The gospel of peace, the beautiful feet of peace. That's why you can live out the household and bring peace. Amen. His mouth is most sweet, yea, altogether lovely. this is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Those who are Jerusalem means founded on peace. If your life is founded on peace, Jesus is your friend. He's your friend. Jesus goes into great detail to make us understand that in John 15. If you want to study it, and look, He named you His friend. That's what it means when He said, I call ye my friends, I name you. So we're going in the name and the character, the authority of Jesus. So I need to see this. I need to see that any word that is not sweet, it's not of the Lord. There's only two sources. The Lord and the devil. So if I want my household to run in the power of the Word of God, the first thing I need to do, I need to sit down with the Lord. And I need to say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit that leads me and guides me into all truth, I've got some issues in my household. Be honest with Him. He doesn't know all about it anyway. You and I, we're not hiding anything. And to sit down with Him and say, here's what I'm seeing. Can you show me the truth? Because, see, I guarantee you what you're seeing, if you're not seeing by the Spirit, if you're seeing by the natural, it's 180 degrees off of what the truth is. Because the devil is a great deceiver, and he wants you and I to focus on the wrong thing. He wants us to put all of our energy and strength to the wrong thing, where we're kicking against the pricks and we wear ourselves out. Remember, that's his agenda. Daniel 7:25. He wants to wear out the saints. So we've got to come back and we said, wait a minute. I think I've said some things that wasn't sweet. I think I've heard and I've received some things that are not sweet. See, your mouth gate or your ear gate, whether it's going out or coming in, it's going to impact your life every day. It's going to determine your peace level. Satala mayanda. Yes, yes, yes. The Holy Ghost just said, Your attitude is going to determine your altitude. I don't know about you, but I want to climb higher and higher in the Lord. So, Lord, I give you permission. Work on my attitude. Come on, help me to change my attitude so I can have an altitude that is significant, that is needful, that is in your will for this moment of time. Amen. All right, let's look at some things that will help us. His words are sweet. His words are sweet. Now, why is that so important in this day and age? Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. You know this verse. You can quote it when we get down to it. But look, let's start reading in verse 8. Nehemiah 8 and 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. See, you and I, we got to have the Holy Spirit to teach us. We can read the Word of God and the devil can put us under condemnation or we can get in fear and doubt. But to read the Word of God distinctly means the Holy Spirit's your teacher, your guide. Amen. So they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave sense and caused them to understand the reading. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is Tishratha, the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they had heard the words of the law. See, you and I, aren't you glad that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law? See, you and I, we could be a people who are just broken. We could be laying in the floor, weeping and crying, have no hope. But because you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, He took that curse. You've been washed in the blood, amen? So why aren't we rejoicing? Come on, don't let the world pull you down. Don't let the flesh pull you down. The flesh works on me. I don't know if it works on you or not, but it tries to pull me down. But I have something that is of a truth, something that I should be rejoicing in, and that's this victory in the cross. Amen? Verse 10, then he saith unto them, go your way. See, each one of us, we're called into the way of the Lord. Each one of us, we are on our way to heaven. We're on our way to the eternity. But we've got a way that has been mapped out from the foundation of the world for Jesus to use us in. Amen? To use our household. But go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Come on, eat the, that means be blessed. That means to be blessed. Eat the good things of life. God wants us to have the good things of life. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, if I eat what the devil presents me before God, see, sometimes God makes us wait. Not because He's a mean God, but because I'm not in the right place at the right time, or I'm not seated where I should be. All of these things, or maybe I need to learn some things. But I can eat of that. If I'll wait on the Lord, he said, eat and drink the sweet. So this morning, the Holy Spirit's talking to some people. There have been some things coming in your gate and it's working on your spirit. It's hurting your soul. And as it affects those, do you think that it's not going to affect your body? Of course it is. Stress is so hard on the human body. Fear, worry, anxiety, all of these things, they have an output in your body. They cause stress, which causes headaches, which raises blood pressure, which lowers immune system. Amen? All right. So I've got to make a choice what I eat and what I drink. Come on. I don't have to partake of the devil's table. Amen? I don't have to. I can partake. I've got my name. You've got your name at the Lord's table. Amen? All right. Now look what happens. He said, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them which have nothing that is prepared. See, the devil wants you and I to be in a place, in a position where our household is out of order, where we're trying to always fix something in our own life that we're not there to be able to minister to somebody else. But see, if I'm eating and drinking from the table of the Lord, then I always have enough. I had a dream last night, and it just come to me this morning when I reached in to grab my billfold out of my one pair of pants and put in these pants, and because I I'd forgot all about it. In the dream, there was a bunch of people. They come up to me and they were asking for money. And I opened my billfold. It's the same way right now. I said, look, I said, there's nothing in there. I said, I give the last money I gave to Main Street Mission. I said, it's empty. But when I turned it to them, every one of them went, hey. And they started reaching in my billfold and they were pulling out protein bars and candy bars and different food items. They were pulling it out of that billfold. And I turned it back to me and it was plumb full of food. What are we talking about this morning? There's some things more important than money. And when we take care of God's business, He'll take care of all business. Amen? Look what happens. So you're able to give to somebody else, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Notice this. Neither be ye sorry. Don't have any sorrow in your life, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We quote the last part of that verse all the time. The joy. So why am I joyful? It's because I'm living my Christian duty. I'm living my life. I'm creating my household in and by the power of the Word of God. I'm eating and drinking from the Lord's table, and I always have what I need when I need it. Not just for me, but for somebody else. Because my Jesus, your Jesus, is lovely. His words are sweet. So we've got to stop these words. See, a bitter word in the Greek, in the Bible, in the New Testament, when it talks about bitter and bitterness, it means as the bite of a serpent. It's a poison that goes through your whole body. So if you and I, if we're in a place where we got a funnel in our mouth, and a funnel in our ear, then those things are going to come out, what we're taking in, but we need to make sure that it's the Word of God and nothing else. Amen? Go with me to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, we're talking about how to live like this in the character of Jesus Christ, His name, His character, and His power. Look at verse 8, Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, you know this verse. We've ministered on all the time. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now notice this. Blessed is the man, blessed is the person that trusts in Him. Now this word blessed here, it means how happy. See, the joy of the Lord is in your spirit. And that's your strength inside of your spirit. But God doesn't want you just to have joy in your spirit. He wants you to have happiness in your soul. Because if you're in this world, people, if you don't have any happiness in your soul, it's hard for them to see the joy in your spirit. And what causes trouble in households? When one person is in fear and anxiety, or they're beat down, or they're troubled by something, and that joy that is in their spirit cannot impact their soul, and so all of a sudden, there's a negative spirit that starts working. And that negative spirit starts saying, oh, God blesses this person, but He don't ever bless you. God helps this person, but He don't ever help you. Or what are you going to do? I'm telling you, you and I are not going to do anything unless the Lord does it in us, through us, and for us. Amen? We can't be a self-made person. But He'll do it. So He said, taste and see. So the Holy Spirit is challenging you and I this morning just to start tasting the truth of the Word of God and seeing your household look like Paul is talking about in ordering by the Spirit in the church at Colossae. It can be that way. I say, oh, Greg, you don't know nothing about it. You don't know what's happened in my household. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about him. This has nothing to do with what I know or what I'm saying. It has everything to do with what the Lord has for you and I this morning. Don't you want that household that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5 that it's like a city set on a hill? It's a light that's shining into all the darkness and showing. Now, don't be discouraged. You can't control your spouse or your children other than the sense they're going to have to make their own decisions. All you can do is live your life. So if you're in a situation where you've done all you can do, then you don't let your boss or your employee who's working for you or your children or your spouse, don't let them pull you down. You just live your life. You live your life and trust in the Lord and let him be your source, because you're doing your Christian duty. And the Bible says when we do our part, God will always do his part. Now, this is important that you hear this morning. Because I don't want anybody to leave here thinking, oh, there's nothing I can do. Yes, you can. You can do it, because starts with you. Amen. And nobody else can limit you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed. How happy is the person that trusts in him. Now, look what he says. Verse 9. Oh, fear. Oh, reverence the Lord, ye his saints. How many saints we got? That simply means that you're being sanctified by the word of God. Oh, you saints, for there is no want to him that fear or reverence him. The word from the Hebrew is no deficiency. You say, well, Greg, that's a lie. No, it's not a lie. I just haven't received it yet. It's impossible for God to lie. So I've got to get alone with the Lord, and I've got to say, wait a minute, here's my household, here's my situation, here's my circumstance. Help me take out the word of the enemy. Help me take out here's what the devil wants to do. He wants you and I to keep looking at the same old picture. See, words are pictures. If I talk about Lassie the dog, y'all don't see Lassie wrote on the wall there in big black letters. You see Lassie according to what she looks like, right? Or he looks like. Amen? So words are pictures. So those words that have embittered us, those words that have limited us, that have not been of God, they've created a picture, and the devil wants us to keep looking at that picture. Well, that's the way they are, and they're just going to always be that way. You know what happens? We've just put that person in a prison in our life, and it doesn't matter what God's doing in their life. In our life, that person will always be that way. They can be something else to everybody else, but to us, because I have locked that in, and that's the only thing I choose to look at. And that, is that joyful? Is that happy? Is that liberating? No. So I need the truth in every situation. Amen? Okay, go to, let's figure out how to do it. Turn over to Psalms 45. Psalms 45. I want to read verse 2 first, and then we'll go to verse 1. Now, verse 2 is talking about Jesus, okay? The Old Testament is about Jesus. I know it's the Old Testament, but it's about Jesus. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Why? Because Jesus is the child of God. He's the Son of Man, but he is God incarnate. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Remember, we're talking about tasting and seeing. We're talking about what we just read in the Song of Solomon, 5:16, that his mouth, his words are sweet. His words are sweet. They're nourishment. They're life-changing. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Jesus is blessed because he is the Word of God. And so you and I were living. Paul said, whatever we do by the name, the character and authority of Jesus. So if we're doing that, then we're blessed forever. Amen? And that means Jesus is the grace of God revealed. And that grace is for every part of your life. every part of your life. Even your marriage bed. I heard the Holy Ghost just say that. Even your marriage bed. Okay? So, how do we get this in our life? Jump back up to verse 1. My heart is indicting a good matter. In other words, your mind, will, and emotions, your soul has got to be thinking good things. Philippians 4:8 talks us that tells us not to be anxious for any one thing. Don't be careful or anxious about any one thing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make our request known unto God. We need to be in that place where we're thinking on the good things. Think on the good things. My heart is indicting a good matter. Now notice what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. Oh, taste and see that I'm good. His words are sweet. Only say what Jesus says. Don't say, my spouse never understands me. My children are always rebellious. Is that of God? What are we doing? You know how many Christians prophesy for the devil? It's ridiculous. When you say what the devil's saying, you are anointed. To prophesy simply means to speak under the anointing. The Bible says the anointing abides in you. 1 John 2:20. So the anointing is in you. So what words you speak, what words I speak, they are anointed. They will either create life or create death. They'll either bring blessing or they'll bring cursing. We're talking about life-changing situations this morning. Amen? The Holy Spirit's concerned. Amen? You say, oh, no, He's not. Yes, He is, because He's mindful of you. Anything you're thinking about, He's thinking about. My heart is indicting a good manner. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. Now, notice what He says. Look at this last part. This proves what God is saying by His Spirit. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Everything you say is being written down in heaven. Remember what the Apostle Paul said there in Colossians? He said, whatever you do, whether it's of the Lord, you're going to receive good. If it's not, you're going to receive bad. Remember, we just read it in Colossians chapter 3. So your tongue is as a pen of a ready writer. So if you don't like your household, change your words. If I don't like my household, change my words. If I want things to come in alignment with the Word of God, I've got to say what the Word of God says. That would be foolish to say what the devil says and then think I'm going to have something different. I've talked to people and they'll say some of the craziest things, like they're going to say that and God's going to say, well, that ain't true. I'm going to change it because I'm going to show you who I am. No, God doesn't have to show you and I anything. He reveals Himself by faith and by love. He is not a bully. Amen. We got a lot of people we've got to help. And we're going to have to do it together. And we'll have to do it in love. This unity that is trying to manifest itself, it has to be put under the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is the head. And then you and I got to fall in order. Amen. Psalms 119. Look at about verse 103. Psalms 119, 103. How sweet, remember what he said, what we just read about the beloved in Song of Solomon 5:16. His words, his mouth, they're sweet. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Do you really love the Word of God? See, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things in my life I missed out on when I was younger because I wouldn't even try it. I'm talking about in the natural. You know, I just never would try it. And now I absolutely love it because I tried it. Try the Lord. He said, try me and see if I won't pour you out a blessing which you can't contain. Amen. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. See, when you got the Word of God working in you, when I've got the Word of God working in me, every ploy of the devil, remember he comes disguised as an angel of light. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so everything that he tries to disguise in your life, you're able to see the truth. Because God's Word is light. It shines light on lives. 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God will direct you and I. That's why it should be the most precious thing to us. Unless something weird happens, when I leave the house, the last thing I grab, make sure I got, is this Bible. Where I go, this Bible goes. Because it's precious to me. All right, let's talk about, that's the character of Jesus. His words are sweet. His character is true, steadfast. His character is honest and pure. Let's look at the authority of this name. Go with me back to the New Testament, and let's see some things here I think will bless us. And Revelation chapter 3, start at verse number 7. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy. Now, that's part of his character as well. He that is true, that's part of his character. He that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth. And shutteth and no man openeth. Those are five things that the character will do, but it's the character is there and it produces the authority. So the name of Jesus in your life, come on, the Church of Philadelphia is the Church of Brotherly Love. Say, I'm a part of the Love Church. Come on. Hallelujah. And so notice that this name of Jesus, it'll produce holiness in your life. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Jesus said, be ye therefore holy as... Come on. That's what the Word will do. The Word will do. It will produce holiness. And he said that he is true. So the Word of God will produce truth. The power of Jesus will produce true things in your life. Kind after kind. Okay. And so it all comes because of the key of David. The key of David is... David is the Messiah... The messianic prophecies that King David in the Old Testament was a parallel picture to that pointed us to Christ in the New Testament. That's what he's talking about. It's the key to understanding everything. So when you got Jesus, the door's open. We don't have time to go there, but mark down and look in your home study time. Study Isaiah 22:22, and look more about this key and look at what you have in your life. Amen. All right, for sake of time, go with me to Acts chapter 3. Let's look at the power of the name. I'll try to get to stopping point. In Acts chapter 3, you know the story where the Lord uses Peter and John by the anointing of the Holy Ghost to heal the lame man. But let's pick it up. You know that. So let's just go to the fourth chapter. Go to the fourth chapter and let's look at the name. What there being a question about using this name, and drop down to verse 7, Acts 4:7. And when they had set Peter and John in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Notice that they liken the name of Jesus with power. Do we? Come on. Yes, we do, don't we? Because we know it takes away sin. And when they had sat in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, saith unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name, mark it down in your Bible app, highlighted in your Bible, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole, complete. Don't you see that the church without Jesus means nothing? I mean, there was a temple, and this man was going to church every day. They carried him out there and they set him down there. The church couldn't help him because Jesus wasn't in it under the old covenant. But under the new covenant, come on, Jesus lives in his church, in his body. He's the head. And when people come to you with a need, when they come to me with a need, you and I, we can have a household that's in order because this household is a pattern of heaven. That's the way it's supposed to be. Your humanly household that is Christian is supposed to be a pattern of the heavenly household that God wants to work in and through us. And so whatever need is brought, this man signified that without God, you can do nothing. You've got to lay and beg your whole life. But after you meet Jesus and God becomes your Father and the Holy Spirit is inside of your life, you're not a beggar anymore. The minute that the prodigal son come back to God the Father, he didn't have to beg for anything. And why am I saying that? Because God gives us grace to have a household that is in order. We need to give people in the household the same grace that God's gave us. You see how all this ties together? Amen? See, I know where I come from. I know what I know, and I know what the Holy Ghost knows. And I get excited when the Holy Ghost teaches me things. Because I don't know anything without Jesus. But with Jesus, I get excited about living. Amen? Drop down to verse 17, this is what the devil does not want you and I to live by. Those are coming against this situation. They said, but that it be spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. The character and the authority of Jesus. The devil doesn't want you and I to live by this name. He doesn't want us to say, God meets my needs. God makes the impossible possible. Now, it's all right for us to say, well, we'll pray for you. No, we're going to decree and declare what the Word of God says, and God's Word cannot fail. Amen? That name. They didn't pray for the lame man. What did they do? They reached down and they picked him up and they said, such as I have, in the name, rise up and oh, glory! Some things you don't got to pray about because you're already in the will. See, yes, sometimes we have to pray the prayer of faith. Sometimes we have to pray the prayer of consecration. Sometimes we have to pray the prayer of intercession. But when we know the will of God, we're just supposed to live and walk in it. Amen? God's will is for your household to be in order. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you and I, we're just going to speak the name of Jesus, but sometimes people need to be taught. Amen? But when you speak and you teach in the name of Jesus, there's the character, there's the authority. In other words, there's the anointing to cause them, to enable them to hear the truth that makes them free. Amen? Drop down to verse 30 and 31. It says, this is where the apostles all get together. And after Peter and John comes back to them with this man walking. And they pray this prayer to God the Father. They say, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that the signs and the wonders may be done by what? By the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Did that please God? Does God want us to be in the place where we're using that name? Let's let Scripture tell us. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. It's God's will. If it hadn't been, if that decree of the truth of the Word of God hadn't been God's will, would he have shook the place? No. Would he refilled them? No. But that was a confirmation in their life that they could go and keep using that name. God wants you and I to keep using that name in our household. Amen? So if there's a situation between husband and wife, between fathers and children, and that word fathers there, that includes fathers and mothers. It's not just talking about the male. Between children and parents, between employee and employer. If there's problem there, come back to this word and say, Lord, how can I have unity? How can I use the name of Jesus in this situation to change it? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will show you and you'll get your focus off of the limiting part of the old image that the devil's wanting to cause us to focus on. And you'll see the new image and plan of God. And when you see it, it's yours. Amen. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, so Jesus, that name, that character, that authority, it has an anointing. And what did Jesus do when he come under that anointing? He went about doing good. You can do good things. Amen. I can do good things because I'm going in the character, the name of Jesus, who went about doing good and healing some, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How did he do it? For God was with him. God's with you. When you got born again, the Godhead come and they made their life inside of you. John 14. Luke 17, the kingdom of God is within the believer, within you and I. Amen? Okay, I'll close with this thought. E.P. Scott, he was a pioneer missionary to India. Now, the pioneer, he was the first Christian missionary to India, in other words. And he was trying to bring the gospel. Well, there was this one tribe when he was there. They come up against him. And as they come up against him, every one of them had their spears out and they're going to kill him. And so just instinctively, he played the violin and he worshiped the Lord in song. That was his gifting besides preaching and teaching. And so he lifted up his violin and I looked it up. He went and he started playing this song, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And I want you to listen to this just for a second. It says, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall." That's heavenly and hellish. Come on. In other words, every spirit it falls at the name of Jesus, good or bad. And this is what he was saying. But the third verse is the one I want you to get. He said, "Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe." Now, can you imagine? He said, "To him let all majesty ascribe and crown him, Jesus, Lord of all." So when he started playing that song on the violin and singing those words out, he had his eyes closed. And all of a sudden, he heard plop, 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 plop. He opened his eyes, and there were spears that were falling to the ground. And there were tears that were coming down tribesmen. That's the power of the name of Jesus. And so you see, when it looks like the devil's going to win, when it looks like that we have no chance, that's when we're in the perfect place for Jesus to get all the glory and for him to show up and do what only he can do. Amen. All hail the power of the name of Jesus. He said, whatever you do, Paul said, by the Spirit of God, he said, do it not as unto men, but as unto the Lord. You do it in the name, in the character, in the authority of Jesus Christ. You could overcome all sin, all weaknesses, all delusions the enemy would try to bring darkness in your life. You are. The Bible says you don't have to pray to be. You are more than a conqueror. Take him at his word. Stop agreeing with the devil. The Bible says, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, down about verse 14, that God always, through Christ, causes you and I to triumph. Always is what? See, what we think is a defeat is not. We've got to learn to see through the eyes of our heavenly Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful group of people. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the things that you have taught me this morning. Maybe this was just for me, but I want you to know that I am in awe of you. I'm so impressed by the way that your Holy Spirit ties your word together and the way that your Holy Spirit will help us to be able to write these words on the table of our heart where we can have what you've promised. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak a blessing over this group of people. And I ask, Father, that right now every false image of the enemy, every painting of the past, yes, every painting of the past be put under the blood of Jesus, be put under his feet. Let there be fresh vision. You said where there's no vision, your people perish. Let there be a fresh vision this morning of a household that's not in disorder, of not a selfish husband or a selfish wife, or unruly children, or of a hateful, greedy boss, or of a thieving employee. Lord, let it be that each one of us see what your word can do. Let us come to that place, that position, Father. Oh, I ask you in the name of Jesus, touch and draw right now. Let lies be revealed, and let us see that name. Let us walk in it for your glory, in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and just spend some time with the Lord? Right now, some of you are in a trial. You're in a challenge. The devil's trying to make you doubt God's goodness, trying to make you try to find and make your own way. But God is going to come through for you because he, not because I said so, but because that's the kind of God he is. That's his character. Would you come and let the Holy Spirit show you little roots of disunity, little roots of doubt, little roots of disappointment and that create all the things that would separate you and I from God's best. Would you come? Just let him minister to you this morning. He loves you so much. And I want you to know that God has great things in store for you.